And so now we actually have our next speaker coming to talk about steps 2 and 3. And so Anthony, come on up. You ready? Let's go. You ready?
No. Oh, you got this.
Hello, my name is Anthony, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. And they keep asking me if I'm ready. No, I ain't ready. No. My sobriety date is September 11, 1991. I do have a sponsor in Chicago. His name is Sean Kay. I attend an online meeting. I call it my home group. It's the Bronx Big Book Study. And I think my responsibility tonight is to talk about the second and third step. I will tell you, at one point in my life and before getting to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was badly mangled. So I needed to find something. And thank you, Alice, for an amazing talk on the first step. You had me on the edge of my seat, and I was so excited because you talked about the problem, and you also talked about people coming in and sitting all the way down. And talking about that circle and the triangle. And my responsibility is to get in the middle of that triangle. And how do I get into the middle of that triangle when I'm badly mangled? I call on the God of my understanding. In the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, all is talked about those four men, and none of them never went to the next phase. They never went to the fact of finding a God of their understanding. So I'll tell you a little bit about my experience. I never had a problem with the second step when I walked in the door because I had a praying grandmother. And my grandmother read a book, and she read that big book. Everybody know the Bible. She read the Bible. And I watched her drink her coffee and smoke her cigarettes and read the Bible. And there was things that happened in my household that my grandmother prayed about on a daily basis, especially for her children. And I watched my mother be badly mangled, and I watched my grandmother pray constantly and pick up that book. And when she prayed and things happened, they locked her up, because they thought it was something wrong with her. So I shied away from that. She took us to church, and I put on my little pet leather shoes and picked out my afro and put on my little suit, drunk out of my mind, but I went to church with her. And then I stopped going because I got scared. Because they talked about this God, this man, with white hair, blue eyes, and what he can do for you. I didn't get scared of that. I got scared because something was happening on the inside of me. I wanted it. I wanted what they talked about in that book, and I didn't know how to get it. And staying close to my grandmother, I believed that I can get it because I watched the things that she did. When there wasn't Christmas and we didn't have food, in hot water, the lights was out and the gas was off, she prayed and we had food, lights, and hot water. When there wasn't a Christmas dinner, she prayed. There was a microwave with food cooking a Christmas dinner. So I believe that she believed. And the more I believe that she believed, something speared up on the inside. It's turning on the inside of me. But I was young. I started smoking weed at 5, and I was drinking Boone's Farm, Nice Train. I was doing all kind of stuff, but I watched her. And I remember sitting in the room at 13 years old, and my grandmother walked in that room, and she said to me, "Do you believe in God?" And my little self sitting there, like, nope, just stole her $20 because I'm going to get drunk with her money. I stole her money. I'm like, nope, she knew I took it. And I said, "No, I believe in nature. The trees, I'm lying because I gotta get out of this house because now she's about to talk to me about something. with God, the thing that I wanted to be a part of but did not know how to be. The thing I was ashamed of because I watched the people in the church. I didn't want anything to do with it. And I remember when I slept on this back porch for a while with these cats. And I walked down that street and I walked into that church and that man, he was a preacher or whatever he was, and I came up in that church and I told him I need help. And he said, there was nothing we can do for you here. But he didn't know the God that my grandmother knew about, because I knew from watching her there was something miraculous about a power greater than myself. So when I walked in that church, and he said, there's nothing we can do for you here. Because he's seen me walking up and down the street. But I seen people going in and out that church. And I wanted what they had. And I wanted to be a part of that. And he told me, you can't be here. But my grandmother was praying. And she had a way with things. And I remember sitting in the back of a limousine. My mother was pregnant. I was still in treatment. And we was leaving my grandmother's funeral. And I remember saying, now I don't have nothing and I don't have nobody, it's over. I was in treatment. I was 18 years old. They let me come out to go to the funeral. And I still remember my mom's face. And I still remember her having that belly and that black dress. And I still remembering like, the color of her, the white in her eyes was gray, and she was crying. And I said, I don't have anybody, and I don't have nothing now, because my grandmother had the connection. Now, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm 18 years old, and I'm introduced to something, and I know that she had the connection. And when they put her in the ground, I knew that my connection to God was gone. And I went back and got with that sponsor, right? And we got to work. We got into the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we got into We Agnostics. In this chapter, it talked about don't let any prejudice you have against the spirit term deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. And I remember having this notebook, and I wrote all of those big words down that Bill had written, and I wrote on the other side the opposite, and it was like, make my bed, dance, write, eat. It was very simple, and these things I wrote out was the opposite, was what was in this book, and they became very tangible in my life. And that's how I started to build and rebuild that connection to God, because I was able to see something tangible and live on it on a daily basis, and I was able to do it over and over and over again. And it didn't stop there, because I sat down with other alcoholics who was ready to take their lives, and I walked them through this, and they would say, what do I need to do? I was like, go home and read pages 10 through 13, and then we're gonna read We Agnostics together, and I'm gonna give you an assignment. And I gave this young man an assignment. I went to his house, we sat down, and we did a second step. At this point in my sobriety, I was 17 years sober. I was living in New York City. I had just lost my job, lost custody of my daughter, right? And I was afraid. I was scared of what was gonna happen to me. I packed everything up and left. But here's the beauty of it is, I was able to pay my mortgage and then live in New York City and find God again. I didn't even believe in what I was doing, but I sat with that man and I did that work. And he said to me, if this didn't work, you know what I was gonna do? I said, what? He's like, well, I was gonna kill myself when you leave. And he stays sober. And then I did it with a woman, the same work. And I kept doing this work. And then my sponsor told me, he said, Anthony, why don't you do your second step with someone? Why don't you do the work? And that click, someone told Bill, why don't you do the work, Bill? And I think it was some priest or something. He said, Bill, why don't you do the work that you having all these alcoholics do? And I did the work and my life changed. That's when I found that God that my grandmother was holding on to and wanted, and I wanted it. I found my own. It became really tangible. It became true in my life. So what happened for me after doing We Agnostics is, like she talked about, my soul cracked open. I was walking down the street in New York City, and I stopped. It was on Park Avenue, and I hit my knees, and you know they think you crazy if you do something like that. You know, after leaving Chicago, losing my job and leaving Chicago, it was about a year I was walking down the street, and they realized I hadn't eaten. I was weighing 125 pounds, and I hit my knees, and everybody just looked at me, and I started to pray. And I said, God, reveal yourself to me. Help me, I'm scared. And something happened. I went to the delicatessen, I bought me a sandwich, and I finally ate something. I finally ate something, and I started going to those meetings, and my life changed from that day on. I cannot tell you the work that I did on this second step changed that, but it took moving into the third step in my life where the action, I really got into action. Because I still wanted to run the show. Trust me, I'm an alcoholic. I still want to do my thing. So before getting there, I wanted to run the show. I did this work, and then I went into how it works, and it says, what usually happens, the show doesn't come off well. He begins to think that that life doesn't treat him well. So I have to read this in the first person, right? On the next occasions, still more demanding and gracious, as the case may be, still the play doesn't suit me. Like, I have to read that in the first person, and then it goes down here to ask all of these questions. There's like, well, there's no inventory until you get to the fourth step. I'm gonna prove you wrong. Because in We Agnostics, we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. That was the first time I had to take a look at myself. We were having trouble with personal relationships. I had to take another look at myself. We couldn't control our emotional nature. We were a prey to misery and depression. I had to take a look. So I started inventory before the first step because I needed to inventory. I needed to do a spiritual inventory and find out, am I ready? And was I ready? I don't know. I just did the work. They said, do it. I did it. And when I looked at these on page 52 and I looked at the promises, they line up. When you think about the promises and you read the promises, the ninth step promises, it's mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we are halfway through. We have to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply the same human readiness to our problem. I wasn't ready for that. My spiritual life is not a theory today. What has happened in my life with me and this transition from the first step to the second step being badly mangled, my alcoholism taking over, and getting into the second step and learning how to find a God that's tangible for me and walking into that church and finding my own conception of God, it changes everything. The second step for me gave me the solution, the directions to the solution in my life. I was always caught up. I was always questioning it. Is this the right thing to do? I'm 18 years old. I shouldn't be here. this doesn't feel right. I'm afraid, fear, and doubt, right? And then I was going back and forth, second step, third step, running the show, who's gonna do this? And then in the third step, it was, what is our basic trouble? There's my other inventory to watch myself. I had to watch myself again, right? What was my basic trouble? Am I not a victim of delusion when I can rest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if I only manage well? I wanted to fix, manage, and control everything. I wanted it to go my way. And all this time I was selfish, self-seeking, self-reliant, self-centered. And I was just manipulating people to get what I want. I was afraid. Fear was driving me. In the second step, it talks about, when you ask me, Arisa, thank you for asking me to do this. I thought about, I gave like 90 talks, y'all, and I don't know which one y'all gonna get. But here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. Coming to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, I didn't know what sanity was. I didn't understand that I had to be restored to sanity. I didn't think nothing was wrong with me. A state of hopelessness, right? I didn't think it was things wrong with me. All I believed in was my grandmother. They told me to show up, showed up. In my life in Chicago, when I lost my job and moved to New York City, I was ready to die. I was ready to go because prestige, power and prestige came before everything. Power, prestige was before everything. God, you can wait to the side because I need this new car, I need this new this, and I need this new that, and I want a little of this. God can wait now because I know who you are. I got a relationship with you. I'll call you when I need you. But that's just not how it goes, because that's how I get wrapped up in those sprees that you were talking about, the sex sprees, the lying sprees, the cheating sprees. The manipulation, I'm people pleasing. No, I'm manipulating you because I want what I want from you and you don't do it, we're not friends. That's how it is. So God can wait while I go through all of this stuff. That's not how it goes. I stopped fighting and something happened. I gave in to the solution. I brought God into the situation. I asked for his help. God, reveal yourself to me, and he did. And these are the things that happened. He gave me a daughter. He cracked me open on the inside. He walked me into Alcoholics Anonymous. He gave me the voice I needed to have when my daughter sat there and took a bunch of pills and said she was ready to die. I knew how to talk to her. To make her smile, to make her want to live. I didn't have the power, but I had the voice in that moment. So when she sat on that hospital bed, I knew what to say. That's different. Only because I sponsor young men and women, I knew how to talk to a young woman and show up. God gave me that. He gave me the opportunity to stand in front of you all today and tell you my truth when I wanted to put a bottle in my head or take a bunch of pills. An alcoholic called me and needed some help. When my friend on July 22nd called me and he said, I'm sitting on the floor, we can talk. So I talked to him. He said, I need to talk to you badly. I said, okay. I took a walk to the lake. He put a bullet in his head. That was, I needed to let go because I kept trying to save someone. He gave me the gift to stand there and scrape the blood and the brains off the floor to clean up the house and make it ready for his family to come in. That was the gift of Alcoholics Anonymous. God had set me up with the tools that I needed to be available for his family. So I say all of this stuff is because I don't have an issue with bringing God into the situation. I don't have an issue seeing it anymore. Coming from where I came from, sleeping on the back porch, eating out of garbage cans, sleeping in the car, back of the cars, standing in the soup lines at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or in the morning to get a bed at the shelter. My grandmother was always praying for me. That little boy that I saw standing out there with those sneakers on and that starter jacket that I watched every morning, Nike decided they were gonna sponsor me. And I got shoes every month. After being in Alcoholics Anonymous, the gifts of surrendering to a power greater than myself, something miraculous happened in my life. And the only thing I can tell you is I get to show up happy and whole, free from the bondages of self. You know, the third step talks about this bondage. We can have that inside of Alcoholics Anonymous or outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. For me, I've had it in both areas of my life, in Alcoholics Anonymous and outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have been trapped, I have been stuck. And when I read that third step prayer, it meant nothing to me on my knees. It really meant nothing, because I really wasn't here. But today when I read the third step prayer, I make it my own. And today when I read this book, I ask God to help me set aside everything I think I know about this book, you, God, and the people I'm in front of, so I may have an open mind and a new experience, and I get unblocked. Today I'm scared. Today I thought I told you all everything I can tell you about who I am. But I haven't. I haven't told you all that doing this work changed my life. Sitting down with someone else and reading this book changed my life. Reading it in the first person changed my life. Doing the work consistently changed my life. Doing the third step opened doors that I thought it would never open. It led me to understanding of the 11th step. And doing that work brings me back. So what I do know about the second and third step is that there is a solution in the process of doing the work. And I cannot not do the work. The moment I stop doing the work, guess what happened? Alcoholism shows back up. And I am badly mangled. So when you say come in and sit all the way down and open up your book and do the work, find someone that's gonna help you and support you through that, who's gonna walk you through it. I didn't understand it and couldn't read it. I can go through a list of things that has shown up in my life where I had to let go and let God, but I was afraid that he could not do the work for me. So I needed to jump in, and now I'm powerful again. But that's when I get unmanageable because I want to fix, manage, and control it. The fear will drive me. They say it's 100 forms of fear. I don't know what they are. I have experienced fear. I have experienced fear where my lips are shaking. I have experienced fear when I'm nervous. But the fear to take care of myself on a daily basis, that shows up. And when that shows up, I have to invite God in. When I'm sitting in amongst a bunch of friends and we're having a conversation, coming to believe that there's something more powerful than us, sometimes is unmanageable. Imaginable. But the gift is I sit back and I shut up and let it happen. And the third step, making a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. I had to do the work to find him. I had to seek to understand. I had to let go to play a part in life today. I am no longer afraid of what the power can do for me. When I dream about my mom, when I have those dreams, someone told me they came, and that's when they come visit. Last week, I had a dream about my mother, and I woke up crying like I was 5 years old because I wanted to tell her something. So the spiritual life is not a theory. You have to experience it, not just live it. You have to experience it and allow it to happen. I don't know what this talk's gonna do for you, but here's what I do know. Give yourself a chance. Find somebody who can sit down with you and read There's a Solution and see how quickly you can see yourself in those pages. Sit down with someone who's willing to read the third step and go over it with you, and you can see that you are starting to watch already in the beginning. Watch yourself. And that's what I had to do. I had to do that, and then I had to ask myself, like, turn the statements into questions. And am I experiencing the promises that this third step is talking about? Are you experiencing that? And whenever I am not experiencing that, guess what I am in? Self-will. When I am not experiencing any of those promises, I am in self-will. When I'm not looking at the turning these into statements and asking why, I am not watching me. I'm not watching my behavior when I'm having conversations. I'm trying to run the show or manipulate or get something out of you. So with my family, my brothers, my sisters, my daughter, her mom, if I'm not experiencing this ease and comfort, I am in self and I am manipulating and I want something, or I'm restless, irritable, and discontent, and I need to manage. So I start to panic and want to make everything look pretty. I'm going to go in and arrange the furniture. What are you doing? I'm making it comfortable because I need something out of you. There's something going on in the inside of me, and I have to watch that. And these two steps, when you read this book, you're already doing the watching. You're already asking yourself questions, Anthony. You're already in the book. So whatever situation in my life is coming up, I'm already watching. And when I stop watching and I start watching you, now I'm on your inventory. Now I am assassinating your character so that I may feel good. And I am out on sprees trying to make myself feel good because I feel insecure and I don't have what I need and I'm not doing the work. I'm no longer afraid of what this book can do for me. Many of us said to our maker, as we understand him, God, I offer myself to thee. No, God, relieve me of the bondage of self. I'm sorry. Relieve me of the bondage of self. I don't even want to be relieved from the bondage of self because I'm in the mess and it feels good because I am getting something out of it. And when I'm getting something out of it, I don't need no God to help me. Take away my difficulties. It ain't difficult. I got it. I'm going to manage this. I can fix it. You hold on a second. That victory over them may bear witness to those that I would be. I ain't helping. I'm not putting away the chairs. I'm not bringing the snacks. I'm not going to the PTA meeting. And I'm not doing service work. Thy love and thy way of life. My life is more important than thy way of life. When I get into that space, I'm not bringing in God. But here's what it tells me. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at least abandon ourselves utterly to him. Am I willing to do that? Is the question. Are you willing to do that, Anthony? Not when I'm getting what I want, not when I'm manipulating you, Not when I'm in self-will. Not when I'm in self-reliance. Not when I'm being self-centered, right? We found it is very desirable to take this step with an understanding person, which such as a wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor. Now, that is what got me when it told me that the person who I've been talking to is going to tell me the truth. They're going to let me know that I'm on some BS and I'm running game. But I'll go to my friend. Hey, how you doing, Lisa? What's up? Because I know you're going to agree with me and let me stay in this mess. And if you got people like that in your life, I feel sorry for you. Find some new friends. Because my sobriety and your sobriety matters. When I'm doing this work with another person, or I am friends in a relationship to you as a person, it is my responsibility in Alcoholics Anonymous to show up for you 100%. And you might not like it. So a lot of my friends calls me snob. You call me a snob, I'm okay. I have a God in my life. My friend called me a snob, an AA snob. Only because I found God, y'all. He calls me a snob, and I'm okay with that. Because when he starts to gossip, I'm like, you really think of that person that way? I think they're like, da-da-da-da-da, and he's like, oh, you are such an AA snob. I am trying to stay connected. And it is my responsibility to stay connected. I am watching. It already told me to do that. And we launch out on this vigorous action. That tells me that I'm done the work. Like, I am done this part, now I'm ready to move forward. You can't be rocketed into the fourth dimension standing there like, when are we leaving? You have got to do the work. How can you get rocketed into the fourth dimension if you are not willing to take a look at your step? Step two and step three in the big book gives you that opportunity to start watching how you show up, watching how you dress up, watching how you treat your kids, Anthony, watching how you go into work and talk to those people, watch how you listen to things, seek God, look at situations and find God in it. When I walked in that room and that man had shot himself in the head, I found God in the situation. They had a conversation and I was the one who was supposed to show up. That is what that is for me. I start to seek that when my daughter took a bunch of pills. I had to find God in that and see that it was my responsibility to sit at the edge of that bed and have a conversation with her about life, and that I had experienced that. And you all taught me how to sit there and tell her what I went through. In the moments of me and my daughter's mom going through our crazy, I had to seek God. I had to tell her she was amazing. She was fabulous. And I had to seek God within her. So this two steps in this book taught me how to watch for those things and seek those things and trust the process. It is not feeling well. I tried to go back to school for oh, no matter how many years on my own. But when I stopped, guess what? They called me and asked me, do you want to come to school? I said, yes. And when it's time, you know what it did? Alcoholics Anonymous taught me how to meditate at night. Now I can do all my work at night and it's quiet. That was in God's time. In Anthony's time, I wanted it now because I wanted you to see me a certain way. I wanted it now because I wanted the world to see me a certain way. I wanted it now because I wanted everybody to notice I was doing something. It was a lie. It came when it came. And now that it's here, I have the opportunity to show up 100%. The relationship with my daughter, mother, it came when it came. I have an opportunity to show up 100%. Because I surrendered and I stopped trying to do the same things over and over again. All this talked about getting in a shower. I remember sitting in the shower with an SOS pad, washing myself off because I slept with so many people. I raised my hand because I slept with a lot of people. I kept doing it. It stopped when I brought God into it. When I start to see that I was valuable and I was worthy and God was a part of my life, surrendering and turning those questions into statements, looking at the instructions, seeing the promises, as we felt a new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we had faced life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose the fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. I lost the fear of not having an opportunity to be a part of my daughter's life, and now I get to be that. I lost the fear of not feeling like, hey, I'm not lovable, and now I love myself so much I sit down and make meals for myself and have lay out the plates and put out the napkins and put out the, it's beautiful, and I can invite you in. I lost the fear of belonging because I don't have to change who I am to belong. Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me belonging doesn't mean changing. Belonging means I'm part of this, no matter who I am. There's a seat for me. So I lost the fear of going to school. And it is almost my time. I lost the fear of standing up here with you today because I know that God has me here for a reason. And whatever you hear tonight is only my experience with the second step and a third step, knowing that my inventory is all the way in the fourth step, but he gave me tools to start watching in step two and three. And if I'm not doing that work, and if I don't have nobody in my life to help me get there, then I need to seek out some new friends in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I need to surround myself with people who are in this book looking for the solution and ready to deliver. I am no longer afraid to be who I am. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me that. And that effect sometimes is so great. I'm gonna say it again. An effect sometimes, a very great one, was felt as once. How you ever walked down the street and felt like you looked like everything and you were powerful? You walk in a room and they shut up because they know who you are. I felt like that. God has given me that. That is my new experience. That's what I get. That is the power that comes in from this. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we ain't even in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. We're just in 1 and 2. Right? Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, 1 and 2. I am no longer badly mangled. I am a recovered alcoholic with a seamless, I have a mind today. I know how to react and show up. There's a gift in working these steps. There's a gift in seeing that I was badly mangled. Now I am no longer badly mangled. There's results, and it's a great one and felt as one. If you seek it, you can stand here and act like nothing ain't happening, and you can stop working with people if you want to. Get with some recovered alcoholics and see how your light lights up and see how you are rocketing into the fourth dimension. And I ain't gonna tell you where it's at because you need to do the work to get there. My name is Anthony, and I'll keep coming back.